whether it comes as the drip, drip, drip of small worries, or as an overwhelming wave of concern, anxiety is one of those things that we've probably all encountered in one form or another. But is it something we just have to live with? Our guest today, Christian Science practitioner Heidi Salter, found a path not just through anxiety, but out of it. Let's listen in as she tells us more.
When I was in high school, I started to experience some pretty aggressive anxiety, usually before, you know, going out for social activities, but sometimes just going to school. And I didn't really know why or where it was coming from. I liked school. I had good friends. And I was actually a pretty confident and outgoing person. But, you know, before heading out, I would just become kind of gripped with this anxiety. Mm. And to the point where I would actually get sick to my stomach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I started to worry that I would do that in front of other people and become sick out with friends or, you know, at lunchtime at school. And so I tried to kind of avoid eating before heading out somewhere or even, you know, maybe arrive late at a function that involved food. And, you know, and then often that meant coming home late at night and, you know, warming up the dinner that my family had had earlier. And
a vicious cycle.
Right. It was. And I know my parents were concerned because this wasn't a very healthy way to live. And they would try to get me to eat and, you know, but it was just a struggle. You know, I knew something needed to be done. And I was an active student in the Christian Science Sunday School, and I'd had a lot of healings through prayer. And so I felt like that was what was going to bring a lasting result instead of these little tricks that I was coming up with to avoid, you know, eating or try to calm myself. And, you know, it started with just kind of like telling myself some good ideas before I went out, like, you know, maybe something that I'd read in the Bible or in the writings of Mary Baker Eddy or a hymn. And I'd try to get my thought kind of calmed down, you know, with a little bit of a truth, but it just wasn't very lasting. I needed to do something more. And in the past, my parents, you know, they had prayed for me. They'd called Christian Science practitioners for me. But I wanted to do this kind of on my own, I guess. I felt I was a teenager and I was doing more and more on my own. And I thought this is something I just really need to handle. So I thought maybe I should call a Christian Science practitioner. But I kind of hesitated about that at first because I thought, you know, if whoever I called might say, well, you know, that's kind of weird. You know, I was embarrassed, you know, about what I was dealing with. So with kind of feeling embarrassed and nervous about even calling the practitioner, I did. I called and I explained everything. And she was so understanding. And as I've learned since then, I think a practitioner can right away not attach a problem to a person.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, you know, I had been dragging this thing around as my problem. This was part of me. I got nervous before I went out. Anxiety was my problem.
Or your identity, almost.
Right. I had really kind of come to accept that. But I got the sense that the practitioner didn't see that about me at all. And I can't remember exactly what she said right away, but I just got the sense that, wow, she already sees me as functioning normally and being at peace and being able to go out and enjoy life without this problem.
What do you think the basis for that was? Because obviously she wasn't just like casting you in a positive light and being like, no, of course you don't have anxiety. You're a nice person. I mean, there was, there was clearly a spiritual foundation for that.
Right. And I think it's because she was seeing me as an idea of God and, you know, not a mortal teenager with these problems, but she was seeing my spiritual identity. In the Bible, in a lot of people, I know, go back to this, and it's very helpful to go back to, you know, the creation in Genesis 1, that we were made in the image and likeness of God. And if we go back to that, we are spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that was how she was seeing me.
Mm. And what did that do for you?
Well, it helped me to start seeing myself that way. One thing that really helped me was a couple of days after I talked to her, in the mail, I got a poem from her. And this was, of course, before email and texting, so she mailed me something. And I loved the poem so much, I still have it today. It's printed, it's typed out on this little pink piece of paper.
Aww.
And I would like to read it if I could.
Yeah, go for it.
It's called Boundless, and it actually came from a sentinel back from the 50s. And this was several decades later, but it just meant so much to me. It says, "Let the circle of my love be so pure, so deep, so wide, that in its joyous, radiant reach, nothing shall be left outside. From smallest treasures dearly loved to worlds which in their orbits rest, no longer person, place, or thing, I know all now as mind expressed. No fear, no lack, no aching dread remains to chill my soaring hope. Truth has revealed the compound man, including all within love's scope." I think it was that no longer person, place, or thing really kind of struck me, you know, and that was the thought of getting beyond me or people I was with or the situations and seeing the spiritual ideas of each of those.
Mm.
And I started to see that maybe it wasn't something wrong in my thinking so much as looking for more of what was right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and seeing more of God's love for me and for everyone, more ways I could be more loving, and seeing beyond these circumstances that felt so daunting to opportunities to love more.
I want to ask a question about that, Heidi, because I think that sometimes when people struggle with anxiety, it can feel like a very inward pulling feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how is it when you're dealing with that, that you find the capacity to reach outside yourself to love?
Yeah. I mean, I can't say it happened immediately because it's true. It was a very self-focused issue that I was having. But, you know, I understood God as love. That was something that had always meant something to me. And so I started with that. I knew God loved me. And, you know, this wasn't a problem that he was sending or even saw in me or anything. And so I started with that love that, you know, we call divine love, that it really is God. And I think I used that as my basis for loving. So I was able to get beyond just a human kind of love.
Hmm. You had to somehow conjure up yourself.
Yeah, right. That it wasn't coming from me coming up with, you know, even opportunities or ways to love, but just being open to, you know, how can I help someone or smile at someone at school or, you know, just those little things. And it was also, I was not just seeing myself as this expression of love, but everyone else. And maybe even people at school who I hadn't really thought of as being expressions of love, I started to see them that way.
Hmm.
And that was really helpful. And the more I saw all of us that way, the more I was able to see that there wasn't a reason to be nervous. You know, if ideas of love are gathering together, where's the cause for anxiety? Where's the reason to be nervous or concerned or afraid? That broke through quite a bit of that anxiety for me. And I started to really, really improve being able to eat more normally, you know, not feeling sick before going out to be with people.
Was there any sort of official end to it? Like, do you feel like there was a moment when you definitively realized this just isn't part of me anymore? Or was it more just like a slow falling away and at some point you just realized you were free?
Yeah, I think it both. It was kind of a you know, a gradual falling away, and yet it kind of tried to come back. My family and I were invited to an awards banquet at the end of the school year. And that meant eating dinner with like 200 people and then going up on a stage and accepting some awards. And nice as that sounds, you know, I thought, oh, okay, I don't know if I can really, I don't know if I'm there yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this date approached, I was really trying to, you know, hold those thoughts I'd had before that I had, you know, and I had seen improvement. And I still remember getting ready in my room, and it's hard to even put into words, but I looked in the mirror and I didn't really see myself. I felt like all I saw was a reflection of love. Mm. And it just, I remember just that feeling of, wow, that's what I am. I am an expression of love, and so is everyone else who I'm going to be with. Mm. And that I really felt was the big turning point. The evening was wonderful. It was beautiful, happy and fun and relaxed. And I remember my parents even saying they noticed a definite change, that this was, they knew I was healed. And then actually, just a couple weeks after that, I flew to Europe with a group from school, and I just had such a good, relaxed time with everyone. And it was the first time going overseas without my family. And but I knew that this healing enabled me to do that with confidence and to really just to enjoy and not have that, not carry with me that anxiety anymore.
Mm. I love that, Heidi. And this is such a relevant topic for the times we're living in because, you know, I've just seen countless headlines about how much stress various people in various sectors of society are under because of the pandemic and sort of escalating levels of mental health problems, including anxiety. And actually, funny enough, as I was getting ready for this podcast, this headline popped up on my phone and it said, "Overwhelmed by negative thoughts? Here's how to stop spiraling." And I thought, wow, you know, this is really in public conversation. But
it is.
What I love about what you're sharing is that it goes so far beyond just, quote, how to stop spiraling.
It
really moves it to that place that it's, as you said, it's not part of your identity. It's not something that God is causing. And really the truth that you experienced of the power of love to just, you know, lift that right off of you.
Right. Absolutely.
So thinking about the present day, though, is there anything else that you might like to share specifically related to some of the anxiety that seems to be surrounding the pandemic?
That has been on my thought a lot, too. And, you know, even just a quick scroll through my social media news feed, I notice, you know, this is something that so many people are dealing with. And during the pandemic, I have also kind of experienced some anxiety different from, you know, the high school experience, but just some of that overwhelming, hard to explain, just dread maybe. And I was waking up really early for a while and just kind of worrying, you know, and feeling anxious and fearful and sometimes even angry. Well, I couldn't even put my finger necessarily on what it was all about, but just that anxiety. And I actually looked online to see, well, what are some suggestions that are out there for how to handle this? And what I found interesting was there were a lot of things about how to cope with or how to manage anxiety. But, you know, again, I thought, well, this is where Christian Science can come in because Christian Science says it can be healed. Mm. And I, you know, again, wanted to just to heal these thoughts, you know, not just for myself, but just to kind of contribute to that overall healing for the world. I remember one morning, you know, waking up really early and kind of tossing and turning and thinking about all these things. And suddenly I had this thought that said, "You've spent a lot of time thinking about all these things, but how much time have you spent thinking about me?" And
me is who?
I was pretty sure that me was God. And it was almost, I kind of felt like it was a parent saying, you know, "Okay, Heidi, that's enough. Let's get your thought where it needs to be to pray." And I thought about, you know, the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And that was the me that I knew was speaking. And Mary Baker Eddy, who's the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, referred to that commandment in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She wrote, "This me is spirit. Therefore, the command means this: thou shalt have no intelligence, no life, no substance, no truth, no love, but that which is spiritual." And I thought, well, yeah, the thoughts I've been having weren't very spiritual. They were pretty down in that mortal view of myself and of life in general. And so I thought, that's a great idea. What if my first thought every day, I didn't have any other thoughts before God?
Hmm.
And I love that idea. It's not that easy to do just right away, you know, just switch.
Yeah, well, and also I wonder about someone who might be thinking, like, what is practical about that? Mm-hmm. You know, how does that really work? Because it's not like we can just pretend that the stuff that's going on in the world isn't happening.
Right, right. Absolutely. And we don't want to ignore it. You know, I think that's what I love about Christian Science. It's not a turning away from what is happening out there. It's turning towards it to heal it.
Mm.
And I needed to, you know, again, just, I guess it was like that experience in high school where I had to refocus my thought and refocus, like I said, on what was right and what is good. And so to start my day with a thought of God, you know, and like I said, it wasn't an easy suddenly, okay, I'll do this. Great. You know, it took some definite discipline, but if I could just think of one good thing. And one thing I really like to work with when I'm praying and when I need to just be really kind of simple, I guess, are the synonyms that Mary Baker Eddy gave us in Science and Health for God. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. And, you know, that last one, love, as I've talked about earlier, is so powerful to me. You know, when I think about the purest, most perfect love, it's just this really wonderful, overwhelming sense. Instead of being overwhelmed with, you know, problems, it's so, you know, helpful to just know that that's what can overwhelm. That's what can fill my thinking.
And what's the effect of that, would you say?
Well, for me, it's very calming. I often like to think of like a parent caring for a child just wrapped up in those arms. And I think of God that way, is that just my loving parent just embracing me and embracing everyone in that, just that perfect, most pure, unchanging, unconditional love.
Yeah, I like that image of a parent too, because it reminds me of a friend telling me one time that she walked into her son's room late one night before she went to bed to check on him. And she could tell that he was having a nightmare. He was like, it seemed like he was fighting something. But of course, she knew that he was completely safe in his bed.
Right.
There was nothing there. There was no dragon. There was no, you know, monster, whatever it was. And she, you know, she woke him up and assured him that everything was okay. And he went right back to sleep. And I thought that that's such a great kind of metaphor for what happens in prayer when we really do feel that presence of love that you're talking about, it's really a waking up to the fact that whatever it is we think we're fighting against, whatever is making us afraid or anxious, doesn't have the power and authority that it claims to have. And in fact, in that recognition, that actually can bring change and healing.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Absolutely.
So what happened for you?
Well, for me, it did really help. And like I said, it took practice. It took discipline. You know, it was maybe a few more weeks. I kind of came to just accept that I would wake up early and be kind of panicking about things and then have to work through it. But the more I really reminded myself, get my thought on God first thing, the more I was waking up calmer and at a normal, you know, reasonable time. And then just spending those moments before getting up, really praying, really making sure that I was starting my day with God, that was my first thought of the day. Mm-hmm. And even at first I thought, well, okay, I could, you know, think about God, then if I need to, I can go back to these, you know, these concerns. Well, obviously, you know, with that basis, that spiritual basis for my day, I didn't, you know, it was more natural to then continue with those thoughts.
What I love about that, Heidi, is it goes to show the power of that discipline of turning our thoughts toward good, turning our thoughts toward love, turning our thoughts toward any of those names for God that you listed off, because that is where the truth of things really resides. And it makes me think about an experience that I had at one point after college with really, really anxious thoughts that would just seem to come on with such intensity sometimes. And I remember when I would pray about them at first, I was kind of like on this seesaw where I'd be trying to put my weight on the side of what I knew to be real and true based on my study of Christian Science, you know, that mm-hmm. that peace really was the power, not these anxious thoughts, mm-hmm. Because peace comes from God. But, you know, then I'd kind of inevitably slide to the other side of the seesaw because mm-hmm. I would just feel so overwhelmed.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that that's, you know, that's definitely something I've heard among friends who've struggled with anxiety as well, that it can just feel like the power is on that side and that there's just nothing
right.
that we can do. But I remember the breakthrough moment for me was this one night. I was just really, really struggling and near tears. And I reached out to God and I was just like, help me. You know, I can't mm-hmm. like overcome this. Mm-hmm. And the thought that came to me was, how would you pray about this if this was someone else?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I would have no patience for this. I would stand up, I would be so strong, and I would be 100% convinced that this was just completely illegitimate.
Right.
And that these thoughts did not have, these suggestions really, did not have the power that they claimed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the moment I acknowledged that, they were gone and they never came back.
Wow. That's wonderful.
And, you know, that's been such a great lesson to me with all this talk of anxiety, that we are imbued with the spiritual power and authority to stand up to any thought that is not good and that does not come from God.
Right.
Every single one of us. And I think that's what you were coming to see in your experience as well, both of them.
Yes, yes, definitely. Right.
So for you, it seems like after a few weeks of really obeying that first commandment, so to speak, mm-hmm. you know, practicing that, then the thoughts faded out? Is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's not to say that an anxious thought doesn't come back once in a while or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like I'm prepared now and I meet them so much more quickly. And, you know, and each time I feel like I'm going up a little bit higher in my thinking, a little bit, just growing a little bit more in my understanding of God. And, you know, and prepared to help others then, too, who may be struggling with these thoughts.
Yeah. I love that. And that's something that certainly everybody right now can use and can lean
yeah.
on, the fact that it really, I mean, I think there may be kind of a tacit acceptance that anxiety is becoming more of the norm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what I hear you saying is that, in fact, the norm can be peace. The norm can be more of a sense of trust in good.
Right. And really, I think that is our natural state of being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we really are, since we really are created in the image and likeness of God and those ideas of love, then it's natural for us to be at peace and to feel calm and confident. So really that's the norm, I think. No matter what, you know, it might be, as you said, that's the trend seems to be saying, well, anxiety is the norm because of this and that. But spiritually the norm is that confidence and that peace.
Yeah. I love that. Heidi, thank you so much for sharing both those experiences. Is there anything that you'd like to wrap up with?
Well, you know, one other thing I just like to read, because it's a hymn, part of a verse from a hymn that I just love, from the Christian Science hymnal. It says, "In thee I have no pain or sorrow, no anxious thought, no load of care. Thou art the same today, tomorrow. Thy love and truth are everywhere." And I think that because of that constancy of God, God doesn't change from one day to another. And so God's love for us doesn't change, and our expression of love to others and, you know, just expressing love in our own experiences, that doesn't have to change. It can just grow and reach more people.
Heidi, I loved what you've shared today. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed it, and I appreciate your thoughts, too.
I've been speaking with Heidi Salter, a Christian Science practitioner from Petoskey, Michigan. And thanks for listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.